Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. Yes, it's Monday, June 9th here, 2025. We start off another week together, 72 degrees outside, not too bad, and we'll get through the week. You just see. I'm watching this stuff on TV. If you followed the news this weekend, they couldn't help themselves. They have no message, no leader, no platform. So let's try violence. That'll sure work. And then, of course, you have their water carriers, the mainstream media and the Democrat Party, carrying that message, carrying that water, making it something it's not. And ladies and gentlemen, let me ask a question that I posed on social media. If someone was throwing rocks, pieces of concrete, and bricks at you or your family, what would your response be? And it's a simple question. If someone out on the street started to throw rocks, bricks, and pieces of concrete at you and your family, how would you respond? And that's just the question I'm going to put out there, because that's exactly what's happening here. The other thing is, hundreds, if not thousands, of National Guard members are exacerbating the situation by inflaming it. They're doing asset protection. That's all the National Guard is doing at this time. I spoke to their PIO. They are protecting the federal buildings. They're not in direct contact with protesters unless they attack that federal building. They are not out there in the streets trying to clear the highways. They are not dealing with burning cars. They're not dealing with the looting that's sporadically happening in these areas. The National Guard's not doing any of that. They are simply taking up posts protecting the federal buildings, the federal assets there, so those federal agents can go out with local law enforcement and do what they need to do to deal with protesters. Now, mind you, I was on Washington, D.C. radio first thing this morning at 6 o'clock with my good friend Kirk Slichter, who was on Bob Cordero's show earlier today. I didn't want to bring him back on because you already heard from him. Great interview. Go back to our Odyssey app and you listen to Kirk Slichter on Bob's show at the 10 o'clock hour. It was a really great interview. Now, Kirk Slichter, in addition to being a lawyer and a senior columnist for Town Hall Media, he's a retired Army colonel who was in charge of the California National Guard during earthquakes and the Rodney King riots. So he knows what he's talking about. Where this is taking place, where this is happening, 98% of Los Angeles has no idea this is even going on. This is the media. This is politicians. This is unions. Yes, unions, because the president of the SEIU California was arrested for blocking an ICE van from bringing in a detained individual. Now, at the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to read to you some of the names and what they have been snatched up for. These illegal immigrants that have a criminal record, some of them very lengthy. At the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to read you about a dozen of those individuals who were arrested, who were the ones being targeted at this Home Depot and other places where ICE was doing the raids. And this is who these unions are protecting. These are who the Democrat Party is protecting. You know, you originally have the LAPD police chief come out on TV and on X and make social media statements saying that they're not going to cooperate. They're not going to respond to assist ICE. Well, that was a bad move, because now, earlier today, that same police chief said that this is out of control and his officers are overwhelmed and outnumbered. So don't you think it was a good idea to order up some National Guard assets and spin them up where they take anywhere from 24 to 48 hours to get spun up and get on scene, to get them there now when each night has gotten worse and worse? And it's hilarious how you have these very same Democrats, the very same mainstream media going with the mostly peaceful. These are peaceful protests with sporadic incidents. That's how they're declaring it. Well, I've posted a couple of videos. I've posted a couple of pictures of those so-called sporadic incidents. And you know what? It is sporadic. But the entire protest is a riot. The entire area is sporadic. But it's a very small area. So that's why I agree it being sporadic. You know, I'm looking at a New York Post article here. And here's a young woman who's got three cameras draped around her neck, like she's a photographer, like she's a journalist. She's wearing a black mask with just her eyes showing, and she's got a thing that says press on her shirt. But yet she's throwing up gang signs, standing in front of a burning police car, taking pictures from somebody else. So is that a journalist? So when you hear these reports, oh, a journalist from this place was hitting the thigh with a rubber bullet or a paintball, take it with a grain of salt, because they embed themselves, they use these tactics to get involved with the actual protest in itself. But let me ask you a question. If someone's throwing rocks and pelting your family, how would you respond? I think everyone could agree that, you know, a rock, a piece of concrete, a brick could cause serious physical injury and or death. Yeah, deadly force is authorized for that, but yet you haven't seen that used. You actually saw California Highway Patrol hiding under an underpass because about a half dozen of their vehicles were destroyed and pelted. Some of those officers took some pieces of concrete to the head and were injured as well. This is all because you have politicians stoking this. You have unions stoking this, and not only stoking this, but funding this. And we're going to get into some of the funding avenues later in the show as well, because we dug up on that. But to sit anywhere and say the only reason this is happening is because Donald Trump activated the National Guard and it's inflamed this entire area. So let me ask you that. Let's follow through on that stance there. So because Donald Trump ordered up some National Guard to an incident that was already happening, not only in L.A., and they were only sent to L.A., the National Guard, but these types of things are happening in New York City, where there were dozens of arrests. It's happening in Portland. It's happening in San Francisco, far from L.A. So if the National Guard going and being sent to L.A. is the catalyst of all this increased violence, why is it in all these other places where there's absolutely no National Guard? You have to ask yourself that. And again, we'll get into the funding. And of course, this is going to grow because they're able to get their infrastructure in place. How is the president of the California SEIU, one of the ones first on the scene yesterday in the morning, blocking an ICE van, bringing in a violent illegal immigrant criminal into a detention center, where he's blocking the van, he gets pushed aside, he pushes an officer, he gets thrown to the ground and gets arrested? Now, he obviously, I guess, is claiming he hurt his shoulder, so he was in the hospital, but now he's in federal custody as well. This is the same incident where you saw Representative Congresswoman Maxine Waters tried to force her way into an ICE detention facility, saying that she's Congressman Waters and she needs to go in to speak to this prisoner. Well, that's not the way it works. You or I, do you think we could walk down to our member of Congress's office and just barge in into their private office and see them anytime we want? That's not the way it works. It doesn't work for a member of Congress trying to get into a law enforcement facility either. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your job is. If you're not in my chain of command and a member of Congress is a legislator, you're not in my chain of command. You may handle the purse strings for my department. You may make laws that we enforce, but you are not in my chain of command. You think you could just walk into a detention center to see your friend who happens to be a president of SEIU, who was arrested for obstruction of federal agents? That's not the way it works. And I applaud those officers for slamming the door on her face and saying, we'll get our public information officer for you, but you're not coming in. And she stood there, one of the most funniest videos you'll see throughout this whole thing, which is tragic. But just know that in a large scale of things, this is not happening in downtown Los Angeles. This is not happening in their shopping district. It's not happening across where they live. This is happening in a small, condensed area where there's some federal buildings, where there's some warehouses, where there's some industrial area. And that's where this is taking place. That's where at least the epicenter is now. And it's grown since then. But mind you, 95 to 98% of Los Angeles are going about their daily business like none of this is even happening. You're seeing SEIU right now in Los Angeles holding a protest for their president. And you're having people here, local 11 unions, signs up. They have pictures already with the union president's face on them that have been already printed up for this protest because he was arrested yesterday for obstruction. You got to ask yourself again, why is a major union? Now listen, illegal immigration has done nothing but reduce union wages down. It's just a plain fact. Look at the economics behind it. We've seen it here in our area. We've spoken to people who have supermarkets here who try to pay a decent wage to their employees, but there's other supermarkets in our area who may not be so diligent about who they hire and could pay a lot less because of that. And those managers or owners of the supermarket that actually does the right thing has complained time and time again. So it does happen. We've seen it happening. But for the unions out there to be on the side of illegal immigrants, and not only illegal immigrants, but again, at the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to read you a list of who was actually picked up during this Los Angeles raid on Friday, Saturday that stoked this whole thing. And it's spreading. It's in a bunch more cities now because this is all the Democrats and the left are good at. This is the rhetoric we've seen in 2020. We saw it through Michael Brown. We saw it for George Floyd. We saw it after, you know, the Summer of Love. It's what they've been good at. But you know what? There's been a different regime in power that has tolerated it. But when you have your DA, the Los Angeles DA came out and made a statement just basically telling people you're not really going to be held accountable for anything you're arrested for during this time. You have the mayor of Los Angeles saying that we stand with you, the people throwing rocks at law enforcement, the people burning cars and damaging police cars and blocking freeways. You have the governor saying, oh, come arrest me. I stand with my people. Well, let's get into who these people are, and we are later in the show. This is not the message the Democrats want, but this is the message, the only message that seems to resonate with them, that carries them, and it seems the one that gets responses. And they have a rapid response system. It's always been. We've seen it with the other riots that have broken out. We've seen pallets of bricks and pallets of cinder blocks mysteriously pop up. You know, where do they come from? How are they paid for? What's the infrastructure here? Well, we have some of that too. We're going to get into that, where Biden-era grant funding has funded the LA immigration protesters. And the SEIU Act Blue, it all goes back to the same places. So we're going to talk about all that, but be careful what you see on TV. Be careful what you listen to. National Guard are not out there dealing with the protesters. They're not out there stemming the unrest. They are protecting federal buildings. That's the only task they have at this point. Now, if they're attacked, they will defend themselves. They will protect that building because that's the mission they were given. That's the assignment they have. But they make it seem like they're out there in the front lines pushing crowds back and taking back the streets. The National Guard's not doing that. They're not doing that at all. They're doing asset protection of federal buildings, which is freeing up federal law enforcement and local law enforcement to do the job that needs to be done to deal directly with the rioters, to deal directly with the terrorists, to deal directly with these cretins waving foreign flags saying how much they hate this country while they stand on our country's streets under the very protection of our countries. So you want to call them mostly peaceful protesters? That's fine. We sent our mostly peaceful military to deal with you, and they are protecting the buildings. It is 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. There's been a statement put out from the SAG-AFTRA. Now, this is the actors union, the SAG union. SAG-AFTRA is disturbed by the reports of aggressive federal immigration enforcement actions in downtown Los Angeles on Friday, during which David Huerta, president of SEIU California and SEIU USWW, was injured and detained. Huerta has long been a powerful advocate for working people. The ability to speak out about unjust actions and to speak for those whose voices aren't heard is foundational to a free and fair society and central to the labor movement. Huerta is currently being detained at his arraignment, and his arraignment scheduled for today, June 9th. There will be an 11 a.m. Pacific time at Gloria Molina Grand Park in Los Angeles to demand justice for Huerta. SAG-AFTRA stands in solidarity with our partners in organized labor. We will always defend the rights of workers to organize and to be heard. Well, this isn't about workers. This is about criminally illegal immigrants. And that's the protest I'm seeing on TV right now, this 11 o'clock Pacific time protest for this Free David Huerta Stop ICE Raids Now. a rally to demand justice for David Huerta. And again, at the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to read to you exactly who Immigration and Border Patrol, the list of who was arrested on Friday, and I'm going to read you their names, where they're from, and what they were brought into custody for. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Here local to home, this PFA reform bill tied to Luzerne County clears the state Senate. A bill inspired by law enforcement concerns in Luzerne County is a step closer to becoming law after clearing the Pennsylvania Senate in a unanimous vote last week. The legislation is sponsored by State Senator Lisa Baker of Lehman Township, received 50-0 vote in the Senate floor last Monday, and corrects a longstanding imbalance in the law that delivers a portion of protection from abuse court fees to county sheriffs, even when the restraining order are served by local or state police, according to Baker's office. The legislation would clarify that PFA orders should only be served by law enforcement rather than private citizens, and would divert a $25 service fee, included in the $100 surcharge on PFA defendants, to the agency that served the papers. Under current law, that fee goes to the county sheriff's office, regardless of which agency serves the papers. The legislation would require sheriff's office to collect the fee, then disperse them to the local or state police departments that serve the papers. Law enforcement put themselves in the line every time to serve a PFA, Baker said in a statement. It's only right that the agencies performing this vital work receive the support and reimbursement they deserve. The bill ensures fairness is built into the process. Now, they say this bill was also co-sponsored by Senator Rosemary Brown. They say that the issuance of PFAs have increased dramatically, which is something else we should look into as a society. The fact that that's happening is sad. It's tragic. It means people need a court-ordered piece of paper, let's be honest what it is, that deters some and don't deter others. So the fact that they are on the rise and that they are being increasingly called upon to serve such PFAs. It's a good thing that people are getting the PFAs and they're documenting this, but it is obviously not the case when it comes to public safety and the fact that they're required more and more. This is something we've seen post-COVID, to where COVID kind of, unfortunately, one of the downsides of COVID were people were stuck with people that were a danger to them in unideal situations or outright dangerous situations. So it's glad to see that the agency at least doing the work gets a portion of the fee for that. But it's something else we need to look into even further is the fact that they're required more and more. And that's something that's societal, not less a fee structure. So hopefully law enforcement digs into that, and hopefully that could be prevented, because the fewer reasons for PFAs, I think the better off people are. Not that they're not an important tool, they definitely are, but the fact that more and more people need them and are dependent on them, that's something that's concerning. It's 3:31 here at WILK. We'll be back after the news. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. There's been a statement put out from the SAG-AFTRA. Now, this is the actors' union, the SAG union. SAG-AFTRA is disturbed by the reports of aggressive federal immigration enforcement actions in downtown Los Angeles on Friday, during which David Huerta, president of SEIU California and SEIU USWW, was injured and detained. Huerta has long been a powerful advocate for working people. The ability to speak out about unjust actions and to speak for those whose voices aren't heard is foundational to a free and fair society and central to the labor movement. Huerta is currently being detained at his arraignment. And his arraignment scheduled for today, June 9th, there will be an 11 a.m. Pacific time at Gloria Molina Grand Park in Los Angeles to demand justice for Huerta. SAG-AFTRA stands in solidarity with our partners in organized labor. We will always defend the rights of workers to organize and to be heard. Well, this isn't about workers. This is about criminally illegal immigrants. And that's the protest I'm seeing on TV right now, this 11 o'clock Pacific time protest for this Free David Huerta, Stop ICE Raids Now, a rally to demand justice for David Huerta. And again, at the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to read to you exactly who Immigration and Border Patrol, the list of who was arrested on Friday, and I'm going to read you their names, where they're from, and what they were brought into custody for. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Here local to home, this PFA reform bill tied to Luzerne County clears the state Senate. A bill inspired by law enforcement concerns in Luzerne County is a step closer to becoming law after clearing the Pennsylvania Senate in a unanimous vote last week. The legislation is sponsored by State Senator Lisa Baker of Lehman Township, received 50-0 vote in the Senate floor last Monday, and corrects a long-standing imbalance in the law that delivers a portion of protection from abuse court fees to county sheriffs, even when the restraining order are served by local or state police, according to Baker's office. The legislation would clarify that PFA orders should only be served by law enforcement rather than private citizens, and would divert a $25 service fee, included in the $100 surcharge on PFA defendants, to the agency that served the papers. Under current law, that fee goes to the county sheriff's office, regardless of which agency serves the papers. The legislation would require sheriff's office to collect the fee, then disperse them to the local or state police departments that serve the papers. Law enforcement put themselves in the line every time to serve a PFA, Baker said in a statement. It's only right that the agencies performing this vital work receive the support and reimbursement they deserve. The bill ensures fairness is built into the process. Now, they say this bill was also co-sponsored by Senator Rosemary Brown. They say that the issuance of PFAs have increased dramatically, which is something else we should look into as a society. The fact that that's happening is sad. It's tragic. It means people need a court-ordered piece of paper, let's be honest what it is, that deters some and don't deter others. So the fact that they are on the rise and that they are being increasingly called upon to serve such PFAs, it's a good thing that people are getting the PFAs and they're documenting this. But it is obviously not the case when it comes to public safety and the fact that they're required more and more. This is something we've seen post-COVID, to where COVID kind of, unfortunately, one of the downsides of COVID were people were stuck with people that were a danger to them in unideal situations or outright dangerous situations. So it's glad to see that the agency, at least doing the work, gets a portion of the fee for that. But it's something else we need to look into even further is the fact that they're required more and more. And that's something that's societal, not less a fee structure. So hopefully law enforcement digs into that, and hopefully that could be prevented, because the fewer reasons for PFAs, I think the better off people are. Not that they're not an important tool. They definitely are. But the fact that more and more people need them and are dependent on them, that's something that's concerning. It's 3:31 here at WILK. We'll be back after the news. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:35. Great selection of music, as always, Jake. It's interesting because I watched the... When the rain came in yesterday, I watched the documentary on Rush from their inception up to the high schools and bars of Canada, Toronto, Canada, to the world stage called A Farewell to Kings. It's a great documentary, 2-hour documentary on them starting out, how they came about, interviews with the band. It's a great 2-hour documentary on the history of Rush. So that was on one of the channels yesterday. I don't know. I watched some strange stuff on TV. But Rush is one of my all-time favorite bands, as it is for a lot of people. So this is a tragic story any way you do it. And I hate to see things like this. And I heard the call come over, and then the tragedy came to fruition. where state police are investigating the death of a Springbrook Township juvenile in an ATV crash in Jefferson Township. It was a single vehicle ATV crash that happened at the 100 block of Stevens Road about 6 p.m. Friday. Lackawanna County Coroner Tim Rowland said the victim was a 14-year-old boy. They are withholding his identity at the request of the family. The ATV collided with terrain in the area and the victim was ejected. The death is considered accidental, but it is being looked at by both state police. The North Pocono School District and the North Pocono family has put out a statement alluding to that the student was a member of the North Pocono Middle School. They have set up a support that's available in a walk-in basis at the North Pocono Middle School Guidance Office from 9 a.m. to noon, both Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. So it's obviously over today, but if you have a child that's being affected about this, North Pocono, dear North Pocono families, that it was deep sadness that the district shares the heartbreaking news of a loss of one of our middle school students. The passing of a young life is a tragedy that can affect the entire school community, and our thoughts are with the student's family and all those who loved him during this incredible, difficult time. Grief can be overwhelming and may impact each of us in different ways. In response, the North Pocono Guidance Department will be offering grief support services and community resources referrals to students and family in need. Again, the support will be available on a walk-in basis at the North Pocono Middle School Guidance Office from 9 to noon. It was today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. If your child would benefit from additional support and need referrals to community-based resources, please do not hesitate to contact the middle school to be connected with a counselor. A list of additional resources is also available on the district website. On behalf of the entire North Pocono family, we extend our heartfelt condolences to all who are grieving. Please support one another as we navigate this loss together. Again, our condolences to the entire North Pocono community, including, this young man's family. It's a tragedy that has a lot of us a lot of times asking why, and there's unfortunately no answer to that. ATVs, UTVs, especially in rural and suburban America, are a big part of life. Accidents with cars, vehicles, ATVs, UTVs, motorcycles. It's something that scares a lot of us. I recall an incident when I lived on Long Island, was driving with me, my son, a friend, and his son. And a friend's son's ATV overturned and ended up trapping him underneath. I was behind him, thankfully, was able to stop mine, get off, and pull the ATV off of him. Minor injuries, nothing like this. Nothing like this, but it's a tragedy nonetheless. And we read about it too many times here in our area. And I've seen the things, if we created an ATV park and it was under supervision or such, a lot of times there's no rhyme nor reason to this. There are people that just don't like ATVs or UTVs. My family's been around them for a very long time. We have three of them. Thankfully, no major issues with anyone, but, there's always that chance, and you have to know that. I've owned a motorcycle. My daughter owns motorcycles. It's my son flies jets. It's a concern that every parent and everybody should have, and you need to do the best you can to mitigate what you can, but unfortunately, there's a hand out there that none of us have a play in, and that's fate. That's chance, and that's how accidents happen. So again, our condolences, and if you need help, if you're part of the North Pocono community or was a friend of this young man, reach out to North Pocono Middle School, their counseling unit. They will have walk-ins from 9 to 12 tomorrow and Wednesday, and you can call them for further referral if you're a member of the community if you want something further. It is 3:41 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 345, 74 degrees outside. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone. We have Brad from Whitehaven on the L.A. Riots. Brad.
Hi. I'm from Los Angeles, and my brother's a Los Angeles County Sheriff. And I'm curious why the over-exaggeration when 95% of the Los Angeles was getting avocado toast. This falls in line with Esper's memoir, where he said Trump wanted to shoot at the protesters' feet during the upside-down Bible in St. James. Trump wanted this to change the subject.
Trump wanted this.
Absolutely. And why did he pardon the January 6th?
No. Let's stay on focus here. You want to talk about California. I started out the show today saying that 98% of Los Angeles has no clue this is even going on, that it's a small
because
portion
local of coverage.
That it's a small portion of the area.
Local coverage, any earthquake above 4.0, they don't even cover. That's how minimal this is. But people like you are having a separate dialogue and over-exaggerating this, because this is really changing the subject of the damage that the orange guy is doing.
Brad, I don't see the connection here you're making.
Really?
Who, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Because Brad, are you going to talk over me or we're going to have a conversation? I guess you're just going to talk over.
Okay.
I started the show today saying that this is being sensationalized by the media, that 95 to 98% of Los Angeles doesn't have a clue this is even happening. It's affecting a small area. It does not negate the fact that dozens of cars have been burned. It does not negate the fact that buildings have been attacked. It does not negate the fact that dozens of police officers have been injured.
Dozens of police officers have not been injured, and it does not warrant the fact that to have this type of coverage and to bring in the National Guard when, you know, the last time that the National Guard was brought in when the governor didn't ask for it, I think was in what, in the 50s?
It was in the 60s.
Wasn't it? Okay, in the 60s. Why did he bring in the National Guard?
What's the National Guard doing right now in L.A., Brad?
They're working.
What are they doing specifically? What are they tasked with?
You've got a police force of 8,000, okay, and you've got a population of about 20 million. So you do have a vastly outnumbered police force.
Yeah, the Democrats did a great job of setting that up.
That having said, it wasn't out of control, and the governor,
the police chief of L.A. disagrees.
No, he doesn't.
The police chief of L.A. said that they were outnumbered, and it was out of their control. And he was thankful.
The
National Guard came in?
And I'm glad the president ordered the National Guard in that.
Well, again, you didn't answer what the National Guard's doing.
They're helping. They're helping.
How are they helping? What are they doing? They're not dealing with the rioters. They're protecting federal buildings. They're asset protecting to free up officers to go out and deal with the rioters.
So the National Guard
is not even directly dealing with the rioters.
Have you been in that area? There are no federal buildings.
There's no federal buildings?
So what are they protecting?
There's no federal buildings in L.A.
Oh, no. In Los Angeles, there are. And you know what? There's lots of pizza and other business and drinks going on right now. But in where those cars are, or where those quote-unquote demonstrators are, there are no federal buildings. You know that.
There's no federal buildings. So the ICE detention... The ICE detention building was not being protected right now by the National Guard.
They went to the Home Depot, and they were congregating people that were looking for a job. That's felonious people, immigrants? Are you crazy?
Well, did you see the list of who they actually arrested there?
Go on.
I'm going to talk about them at the 4 o'clock hour. I'm going to list exactly who was arrested.
You'll have been given your talking points.
I was given the talking points. You're telling all our listeners, Brad, that they're not literally seeing what they're seeing on TV right now.
to all your listeners, he is exaggerating.
I'm exaggerating. I started off the show.
This is not
saying,
the demonstration. Nope, this is not the demonstration that Los Angeles is asking for.
So dozens of police cars weren't damaged.
This is a prelude
so dozens,
to an escalation.
So dozens of police cars weren't damaged. Time. Dozens of cars weren't put on fire. That never happened.
Exactly false.
That never happened.
Exactly falls exactly what Mark Esper said in his memoir. Trump wants to shoot at the feet of those protesters.
And that's what he wants to do.
That's what this is going to escalate to. You know that.
Well, I hope they shoot the protesters that are throwing rocks and bricks. To be quite honest with you.
Also, you hope that they shoot them all.
No,
right?
I think someone using deadly force needs to be responded with deadly force.
They should shoot them all, right?
They're throwing bricks and that's not what I said, Brad. See how you misconstrue everything?
No, you
those
said, I
throwing
hope they
bricks,
shoot
them all. Those who throw bricks and rocks. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Those that throw bricks and rocks should be shot for this. Is that what you're saying?
You're saying a brick.
Are you listening? And they gave you a radio license?
You're telling me that a rock or a brick will not cause death or serious physical injury.
From how far?
Now we're going with distances.
Suppose they take a brick and they crash a window and they break it. They should be shot.
If the police officer's in that car and they're getting another brick.
Really? I mean, one has to wonder if you truly do believe this. Because if you do believe this, shame on you.
Well,
and shame on that they give people like you a radio license.
Well, Brad, you know what? There's not a damn thing you can do about it. So either you listen or you don't listen.
Well, no, but I could file a complaint with the FCC.
But what's the complaint based on? Go ahead. Let's walk through this.
I don't have a complaint right now.
That someone using deadly force that could cause death or serious physical injury shouldn't be responded to.
Where we were talking about a brick.
You don't think a brick can cause...
You keep changing.
You don't think a brick can cause serious physical injury or death?
I think water can, too. So what's your point?
So I'm standing 20 feet from you, and I'm throwing bricks and rocks at your family. You don't think that's serious physical injury?
That's not what happened in this demonstration. Okay, so 20 feet. You've got a grandmother throwing something at a police officer.
Grandmothers aren't throwing these bricks, Brad.
She's throwing a brick. She should be shot?
They're not throwing the bricks, Brad. It's young military age male throwing the bricks.
That's the demographic you got already? Is that the report you got?
That's the video I see with my own eyes.
So you've made that assumption.
No, I've literally seen it with my own eyes. It's not an assumption. It's proof.
The only way you can really see it with your own eyes is to be there. You're only seeing what the cameraman is showing you.
All right, so the cameraman's not showing us people throw bricks. All those cars aren't really damaged and the cars weren't put on fire.
And here's the echo chamber. You're watching a television channel that is actually just magnifying what you're saying.
How do you know what I'm watching?
The loop.
How do you know who I've talked
there's
to today?
The loop.
I talked to the public information officer, the National Guard unit today. I spoke to the lieutenant with the LAPD today.
Exactly the same talking points. I've been calling talk radio through the country. It's the same talking points.
Good, Brad. I am so glad you called today. Thank you for this because you've just given my audience a ton. Because my phone has lit up and my text message line has lit up because people cannot believe how ridiculous you are.
They can't believe how ridiculous you are.
So, Brad, thank you for calling.
You're welcome
for letting us know there's individuals like you out there that really, truly believe this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
It's called democracy, baby.
All right. Oh, have a
Talk
great one,
later.
Brad. Thank you. It's called democracy, baby. Phone line, please stay on. I'm going to get to each and every one of you, but I'm up against the Bloomberg Money Minute in just a bit. But listen, Brad's called here before. We knew what we were going to get with Brad's phone call, and it went exactly where I thought you. You're not seeing anything that you're seeing on TV. You're not seeing it's all fake. It's all made up, and it's all Trump's fault. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. Let me see what we have here. We have Harry from Pittston. Harry, I got about a minute and a half.
Hey, brother, real quick. I don't know how you kept him on that long, but that touched a vein with me. Fact, down by Brooklyn, the News Coliseum down in there, a relative of mine's son was on the job, or cousin was on the job, and a pallet of bricks were dropped off nearby. And one of the men threw the brick. It crushed his eye socket, needed major surgery. I don't know whether he lost his eye or lost any vision or anything here. But those are the things. You're talking to somebody that did 32 years in law enforcement, brother.
Oh, I hear you.
My voice is cracking because we've been there. I've seen the devil eye to eye. I've seen that. And these people that have, you know, they sleep at night under the blanket of coverage and security that we provide for them. To sit there and say that this is a small thing, any one of those ICE agents that get hurt is not a small thing. And I don't blame them for wearing masks because I've seen it. And here they go and SWAT our FBI director. That's crazy what's going on in this world, you know?
It is indeed, Harry. I appreciate you checking in. I'm sorry I'm up against the time
here. You take your break and you take care of yourself and God bless your family. Stay safe, brother.
You too, man. You too. You know what the scary part is? The scary part is Brad, who was from California, now is our neighbors here in Northeast Pennsylvania. He brought that mentality here, NEPA. Woohoo! Please stay on the line. I'm up against the 4 o'clock hour break, but I will take your calls before I start the next segment if you hold on. So please hold on. We'll be back.